Let's open to the book of Psalm, chapter 1. I will be reading from verse 1, of course. It says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, he says, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This man, he says, will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." Let's quickly review some of the things that we said last time. Now, what we try to get from here is the fact that there is a man who does not walk in certain places, and where the man is not walking in is because of where his delight is in. I hope you understand that point. That it's not as if the man made up his mind that he will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, that is possible, but that's not the most important thing. It's not as if he just made up his mind that he will not sit in a wrong place. Again, a man may try to do that, but sometimes we make decisions in life that we are not able to effect. We are not able to live up to the decision that we have made. Now, but this particular man, what really decides where he stays and where he does not stay is what? Where his delight is in. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And that's what makes him walk not in the counsel of the wicked. That's what prevents him from standing in the path of sinners. It's because of where his delight is in. There's something I've been saying again and again and again. And that's the fact that, you know, God doesn't have to talk to you with words before you walk in his will. Actually, this whole study is about walking in the will of God. How do I find myself walking all the time in God's will? We called it the life of grace. And the reason why we say it's the life of grace is that if you're in the center of the will of God, if you are doing exactly what God said you should do, you will discover that life will run as if it's powered by an engine that is not you. Do you get my point? That is, you'll find the power of God moving you, producing results in your life, so that you will say like Paul, that I am what I am by the grace of God. I've explained before that grace is not just that, I did not merit it. We say it's unmerited favor. But that grace is actually God's power that is released towards somebody to produce results in his life. And we say this power is released as a person obeys simple instructions. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, this is what grace is. Moses, how big are you in parting the Red Sea? It's a humanly impossible task. With all the technology we have on the earth till today, the Red Sea is what nobody will even try parting. But who parted the Red Sea? It was Moses. You say, it was God. Wait. This was what happened. When the people were crying, Moses turned to God and said, God help. And God said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? What is that in your hand? Are you getting my point? And it was a rod. He told him, look, why don't you do something? Stretch forth your rod, all right? Move, tell people to move forward. Stretch forth your rod upon the waters and divide the sea. So it was who that did it? It was Moses, in effect. You know, of course, it was the power of God, we know. But it was the sea divided because Moses stretched forth his rod over the sea and the sea divided. So Moses will say, I am what I am. What am I? The divider of the Red Sea by the grace of God. But, you know, it was not I. His power walking towards me did not prove in that I divided more waters than them all. But not I, but the power of God working with me. That's what grace is. When you get results, not by your strength, when you get results, not by your own struggles, then we say you are working with the power of God. You are working with the grace of God. I hope you get the point there. So where does grace flow? That's what we're trying to explain. That grace flows when you are in certain places. I have established that spiritual things are like compartments. That is, a man can be physically in Nigeria and move from Nigeria to Cameroon, and move from Cameroon to Botswana, and move from Botswana to Zimbabwe, and from Zimbabwe to Egypt. And spiritually, he has not left a particular place. And that place, as an example, that's what the Bible calls the dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. This man is dwelling in that place. He might move from one place to the other, but spiritually, he's still in one compartment. And there is a compartment because it's where you are. That's what we're talking about here. His spiritual compartment, the man in the book of Psalms here, is where he's walking, all right? Is where he's sitting, is where he's standing. And then we see that is shown to us by that place is not the one that the wicked walks. It's not the one that the sinner sits, and it is not the same seat that scoffers take. But he's in a particular situation where in all that he does, he prospers. And that is because of the situation that he's in. We say that the reason why he can prosper in all that he does is because the power of God is flowing into his life. That's the point I'm trying to make. It is not because he's strong. It's because the power of God is flowing in his life. And that's why whatever he does, he prospers in it. Now, so we're trying to explain that. How do we now get into that place where we sit properly, we stand properly, and we walk properly? And I said the summary of it is that we are walking in divine order. We are walking in the will of God for our lives. Now, we've used this Psalm 1 to explain the point that the man who is walking in the will of God is not because somebody is trying. Now, listen to this. I was saying that is that God doesn't have to talk to you with, my son, listen, make her come. We need to talk. You know, we read it in the Bible that God called them Samuel. All right? Then God spoke to Moses. And then God spoke to Jeremiah. He spoke to this person and that other person. You know, we hear people who say, God, talk to me. And then in modern day, we start hearing every day. And a man comes and begins to preach. As I woke up this morning, God began to speak to me. And he told me that, you know, and you will hear it all the time. Do you follow what I'm saying? And that this is the error. Now, listen to me. This is a mistake we make. We now think as Christians that that is the way by which God leads people. That is the way by which God directs the life of people. I want to establish, and that's what I want to do in this season again. Now, along the line, I will explain that that really happens. Okay? I can personally, all right? God leads by supernatural methods. I can personally give you testimonies, all right? Dramatic testimonies of how God led me. I can tell you times in which I know God spoke to me in clear words and I heard what he was saying. Now, maybe not in words that you will be sounding speaking, all right? But suddenly the thoughts begin and I know that I'm not directing it. I'm actually receiving instructions. It has happened before. And every child of God, occasionally, I believe at a point in time in your life, you will experience it. But listen to this. You can never seek it. You cannot wait for it before you make decisions in life. Do you understand my point? Because there is no guarantee that it will come. Do you get what I'm saying? Because that is not the way God designed that we should walk. There's a way. Now notice this. When this is our Psalm 1. This blessed man. Okay? Remember what I said before? The fact that grace is working in the man's life is what makes him a blessed person. Do you follow my point? You say a man is lucky. Good things are just happening for him. All right? Just when it requires it. And we say that guy is just a lucky fellow. But I've explained that luck is a colloquial expression for the manifestation. All right? When somebody has blessing manifested in his life, then we say the person is lucky. Okay? This man, this grace is upon him. But we say, how is he walking? Now listen to this. The man is walking in a particular fashion. I want to emphasize something. The man, there are times he doesn't move, he sits. There are times he doesn't sit, he stands. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, we have tried to establish that this man is doing it in the center of God's will. But what I want to emphasize is that he's not sitting in the correct places because God whispered to him, son, sit. He's not walking in the right places because God whispered to him, son, walk. He's walking there. Why? Because of the delight he has in the law of the Lord. Every other thing is added unto him. I like to say this again and again. Of course, if you've heard me long enough, I'm sure you're tired of the story. I will still say it because it's so instructive. I said, somebody asked me, did God speak to you concerning the wife you marry? I said, yes. Say, how did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. Other than that, God didn't say anything. How did you know it's your wife? I like the girl. What's your problem? That's why I married her. There's no other, not reality. I don't know any reason more spiritual than that. But the question now is that, you just liked her. Yes, this is the issue. Pastor Banky, how come you liked her? Now, that is the problem. Do you follow my point? That is where the emphasis is. Will I have liked somebody who doesn't love the Lord? No. David will tell you his attitude towards those who hate God. He said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. Are you getting what I'm saying? Will I have loved a lady who didn't love the Lord? The answer is no. Will I have loved somebody who is careless about spiritual work? The answer is no. Are you getting my point? So it might be as simple as saying that, yes, it was somebody I liked, but listen to me, there's not everybody I could like. Like I told you last time, if I notice the way you talk to men, you are very rude, I can't like you. You can find like Mami Wata and Jezebel combined, I can't like you. Listen, when they tell you beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, it's not a lie. That thing is so true, it's scriptural. It's scriptural. I can prove to you from scriptures, I can prove it to you from psychology. You see somebody for the first time, you are attracted. Attraction is I'm sure you have seen it before. Waiting fine for your eye today, you don't go fine tomorrow.
If fine woman give you trouble for house, next fine woman you see on the road, you will shoot her. You see, look at them. That's how they look, all Jezebels. It's because of experience. Are you getting my point? Listen, what looks fine to you? I thought one of the first revelations I wrote down in that my book I've spoken so much about is titled The Concept of Beauty. Now, I'm serious. I'm trying to bring out something here. That is, what looks good to you eventually, all right, is dictated by real value. I don't know what that you're going to say. It's the real value that is inside it. That is what really makes something look good to you. I'm bringing out an issue here that, see, so you marry somebody because you like the person. Yes. But which kind of person do you like? Are you following the point I'm making? Sometimes, you see, sometimes maybe a lady wants to marry and say, okay, what's the guy like? Look, listen, when people start telling me that, you see, I just know, God just spoke to me. Listen, my friend, you know, he doesn't move banky. Pastor, you know, it was yesterday when I was praying. Ash, kapolo, to, po, to, po, to. God just spoke and I saw. When you finish, I say, confess, what do you like about the person? So all that God just spoke, you know, it doesn't move me. Listen, because I have heard all kinds of God speaks. A man is tired, doesn't want to go to work. Say, my spirit said I shouldn't go this morning. Listen, that your spirit is not divine. Listen, I need to get this across to Christian. If you drink a lot, your spirit won't go to work in the morning. And it is your spirit, it's not a joke. You know why? You have a spirit of the drunkard. That's all. No, Christians say that, look, I'm a child of God. My spirit is recreated. Look, listen, other one is Pentecostal gist. The truth is that you can have a spirit that is wrong. I showed here the other time that Simon the sorcerer, Peter told him that your heart is not right. And the man he had believed. A heart that is not right will tell you to do what is wrong. So all this one of my spirit just agreed. And that's what I'm trying to teach in this season. To tell you the kind of spirit you should have, and then you will know that what you are doing is right. Now, please get honest. That God is not interested in whispering to people first. Are you getting me? He wants to train your heart in righteousness. Listen to this. So that you will like what he likes. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen. Since talking about this marriage thing as an example. When everything is down, that is, you put all of it together, two people cannot really, really, really want to marry the same person. And peradventure, their spiritual fine-tuning has not reached the point where they can separate one from the other. Circumstances will do the rest for you. People say to me that, God, look, I know God spoke to me. I dreamt that this is my husband. I said, no problem. Just don't go and ask him to marry you. Wait for him to come and ask you to marry him. Abi? That's still the proper order. Do you understand my point? This husband that God spoke to you, that you must marry, there must be a confirmation. Amen? What's the confirmation? He will come asking. God forbid that you should be the one begging that, look, the one you are doing, I know you'll soon settle down and realize that I'm the one that God has ordained. Now, I'm bringing out something. Circumstance will help you decide the rest. Assume he's a brother. Say, this is the, look, I'm so sure. I was praying and God spoke to me that this is that Chiamaka is my wife. Amen. Pastor Banky, you don't believe me? What do you mean? I don't know. Go and ask her first now. Once she pours hot water on your head, there is obvious God did not speak to you. Listen, I don't need... It's okay, maybe she has not caught the vision. No problem. Then be patient. Don't harass her with what God said. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, you will be patient. The confirmation that God has said is simple. You ask her to marry you. She will agree. The two of you will marry. And Banky will finally hear the voice of God. I hereby pronounce you man and wife. Then I can say, indeed, God spoke to you. That is the day I will believe it. Are you getting what I'm saying? What am I explaining? That his delight is in the law of the Lord. That is what is primary. It is what his delight is in. That is what now dictates where he walks. Okay? That is what dictates where he sits and where he stands. And Christian walk, listen, is not to go and learn how to hear the voice of God. I'm trying to teach a balance for Pentecostals especially, right, to understand, and Christians generally, that Christian work is not to go and learn how to hear God. I was taught that as a young believer. A lot of people told stories about it, but you see, let me tell you something. We give testimonies of the things that work, but we normally don't testify about the ones that don't work. Do you get what I'm saying? If we did every time, you will find out that a lot of the so-called things that God spoke to me, most of those God spoke to me, the other times God spoke, it didn't come to pass, so the guy didn't tell you about it. Are you saying God doesn't speak? You heard me at the beginning, I didn't say so. I'm saying that's not your job. To go and learn, pray until your spirit is now quiet. You now hear, listen, those who want to hear Satan also, they quieten their spirit. He said, ah, Pastor Banky, are you serious? Yes. Go and read more about Jesus. He said he will fast for 11 months before the devil speaks to him. Yes. That is, while the sun is up, he won't eat. I don't know, either him or Emmanuel Eni, one of the two of them. No, listen, I'm telling you. Listen, a wicked man, after praying and fasting to hear the voice of God, will only hear the voice of wickedness. No, please, believe what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is that it's not that experience. See, that's why Christianity is different from Buddhism. That's why Christianity is different from the following of Guru Maharaj and all of that. Because it doesn't teach you methods to achieve things. It teaches you only one thing, how to walk with God. And all other things are added to you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, there is no method because I need to help people. As a young believer, I went through all the things that everybody was going through, you know, how to hear God pray, shmush, 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 shmush. You pray fast and then God will speak to you. One brother came to my house once we were discussing. He was saying that you pray, you hear God. When he finished talking, I said, you have to be careful that you don't get into divination. You know what I call divination? Yeah, you want to know everything that will happen before they happen. It's called divination. No, listen. There's a fine line between that which is right and that which is wrong in spiritual matters. There is a very fine line. So that's why we have to just stick with the doctrine of the Word of God, practice righteousness that's already described by the recorded Word of God, and let God add every other thing. This one that, as I'm going to Lagos, I want God to speak to, let me know what will happen. You are actually beginning to learn how to walk out of faith. You don't listen to me. You don't always know what will happen when you get there. Please, I hope I'm registering with somebody. I hope you're following what I'm trying to say. That's not Christian work, to go and learn how to know what will happen. That's Eastern religion. That's divination. You don't need it. You really don't need it. If God wants to reveal something to you, he will. Are you getting my point? What you need is a constant walk with God. Those that were taught, okay, you sit down, you pray, you do like this, you check your spirit, you do all of that. So the brother and I, one day, were discussing. And he said a lot of things. He said, and then after he prayed, something just came to his heart. He said, and he knew it was the voice of God. I said, come, my friend, come. What if I told you it was the voice of an angel? How do you know the difference? Okay, we are calling downward. But if I told you again, Nko, that was Satan trying to deceive you. Do you have a wave resolution software that will show you the one that is of God and the one that's of Satan? Is no be voice, spiritual voice. Be careful when you start praying, waiting for voices. It won't help you. What is Christianity? Let me get back to it. This is what Christianity is, that you will love what God loves. I hope you're getting my point. That is, you will be spiritually developed. You say, okay, who do I marry? Simple. You will be spiritually developed to a level that you would like to marry the person God wants you to marry. I'm not saying it's perfect and nobody makes mistakes, but at least, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. That leading, let me tell you something, is not always whispering. What is leading the path of righteousness for his own namesake? Sometimes it's as you are going on the road. Are you getting what I'm saying? You wanted to go to road A. That is when Arab contractors decided to block it. Are you going to say, God said I should walk through this road and you just turn and go and jam a bulldozer? No, bros, you won't do that. What will happen, as you reach there, you see bulldozer, you go press your brake. When they tell you move back, road closed, what do? You put down for reverse, you turn around. And then the man who you wanted to go and look for, you were driving to nature. As you turn around like this, you just see the man parked in front of fire station, fire service there. He say, oh, thank God, God led me. Are you getting me? Oh, thank God, he led me. Did he really lead you? Yes. How? Arab contractor block road. I'm telling you the truth. It is not every time that you have to get up and say, after praying this morning, God just said to me, my son, don't go out. Listen, there are times you want to go out. Are you getting me? As soon as you reach out like this, may you begin go. You know, you don't iron your shirt. Everything don't straight. One 17-year-old boy that borrowed his father's car will just splash mud as he's racing in front of you. Wham! And drench you from top to bottom. You don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you to go back into the house and go and change. No, listen. That is why my first response to every situation in life is what? Father, I thank you. I have learnt it. You are driving on the road, you are in a hurry. Suddenly you just hear, your tire. And you are in a hurry. The first thing I do, Father, I give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness is an interesting angel. You know, Miles Monroe said, goodness is the name of an angel and mercy is the name of another angel. All right? So maybe goodness decided to remove the valve of your tire, you know, so that it will come down sharp, sharp. You are not supposed to move too fast. Are you getting what I'm going to say? I told you a story some time ago. I read in a tract or something. A man, he said he was hurrying somewhere. It was Christmas season. And as he was going, his car suddenly stopped. This was in America. The car just stopped. He didn't, but he had enough, of course, speed in it to glide it off the road. He just turned it, and there was a service station nearby. He just drove into the service station. All right? While he was thinking about it, he turned and saw a lady that appeared like she was in trouble. Are you getting me? So he came out, approached her, and said that, any problem? And okay, looking at her, you know there was distress. I can't remember the details now. It's been a few weeks I read it. But let me just give you a summary. It turned out that, number one, she was in serious financial distress. Her husband had left her. She was alone with two or three children. And she didn't have any money at all. Now, she had to drive, if you know the way Americans do their driving, she had to drive a great distance with her kids alone, but she did not even have enough money to fuel the car or to feed the kids. That's why she was stranded with kids in the car, and the kids were hungry. That is summary of the story. I can't remember how he found out. So what he did was simply, he just escorted her into the supermarket there, you understand what I mean, and then bought everything that children needed to eat, for the woman to eat, bought them stuff. Then when they came out, filled her tank for her. All right? And said the woman looked at him and said, are you an angel? And he smiled and said, no, this is Christmas time. Angels are very busy, so God has to use mortal men like us. Are you following my point? All right, so he said that. So he told her that, and as soon as he told her that, the woman entered her vehicle, waved him bye-bye, and drove off. He said suddenly in his ear, of course, Nyak came back to his car that stopped suddenly. He said he just knew that the car would start. That he didn't have to think about it. He knew this car was going to start. He entered the car, turned the key, the car started, and he went on his way. That is, in effect, an angel stopped the car that he might attend to that woman. Listen, an angel would not have stopped a wicked and stingy man who does not care about other people. If you look at it, you say, this righteous man, his car will never stop. God said, this wicked man, his own car will never stop because I don't need his help. So as they are going, the wicked man's car will just go smooth, no wahala. It's the righteous fellow who delights in mercy. Are you getting my point? Who delights in helping people. He's the one that his car will now stop. Why? It's called, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his own namesake. That was it. He solved that. Look, you know, you've heard me say before, one of the things we have to learn as Christians is that you are not the only one God wants to bless. Some of us will only hear God's leading when it is just told me to talk to my uncle. And I knew he would give me money. God has never spoken to you to stop and talk to somebody else who will take your money. I'm bringing that an issue. That God stopped that man because he knew that he was a man that will have compassion on people. Are you getting my point? He knew he was somebody who saw, if he saw the woman in distress, okay, he will help. So he didn't have to talk to him, my son, please slow down, turn, look at the woman on your right. I am commanding you. Don't you have the Spirit of God? Go and help somebody who is in need. All that Jesus is not necessary. All he needed to do was find a way for him to notice. And he knew the rest will come out of that fellow automatically. His delight is in mercy. Therefore, he discovered the will of God at that particular point in time. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's very important for us to get it. Because it is not, because people, you know, there's a story I've narrated a few times before, but that was my first encounter with this kind of thing in life. I went to see a man of God, those days, a real man of God, not a joking man of God, a real man of God, all right? My mom and I. So the man was just, he would gist with you. The man is a real man of God, like I said, he's not a joking man of God, a real man of God. And so one of the gists he gave us that day was, with one woman came with her son and dropped three pictures on the table, three young ladies. They wanted him to pray so that they will know which one of them the guy is supposed to marry. And he looked at them and said, I don't pray that kind of rubbish prayer. So just told the woman, he said, this is your son. Let me tell you the truth. He's sleeping with these three girls. Ah, the woman says, is it possible? He said, ask him. Now he's sitting down here. He said, these three babes, what are inside this photo? So, eh? The guy is sleeping with three of them. Ask him. He said, the man just bent his hand. I was smiling like James Bond. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a James Bond spirit. He now wants me to pray. All right? That which one should he marry? Kuku marry all of them. Ah, you never read about David. David married all of them. Why are you coming to me to pray? That takes me to the next thing. In fact, actually, the main thing I want to talk about here. You know, last week, I ended by talking about something. I talked about what? Prayer. I think we read from Hebrews chapter 4. It talked about drawing near to the throne of grace. He said, I will find mercy and obtain grace to help in the time of need. Now, let me continue from there. I think let's quickly read it, and then it will help me sit on the thing I really want to talk about today. Please don't forget, the blessed man's place of sitting, standing, and walking was not dictated because he rehearsed it or God spoke to him directly. It was dictated by what? The delight that he had. All right, bear that one in mind. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, let's quickly read that one. Let me summarize from verse 1 to around verse 8. And then I'll read from verse 9 into verse 16. Now in verse 1 it says, therefore let us fear, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. Now, he said the reason is because the good news in verse 2 was preached, but the people who heard the good news did not believe the word. That is, it was not mixed with faith in their hearts. Therefore, they were not able to enter into God's rest. That is, God had a promise for them, but they were not able to receive that promise that God had for them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, and I explained that what we need, therefore, if you go down to verse 8, is that we have to get ready so as to enter into rest. Now, please, I'm bringing out something. Why was it that they could not enter into the rest of God? It was because a word was given to them. Are you getting me? And because of disobedience, he says, they were not able to enter. Now, for that reason, he was not explaining to us in verse 11. He said, let us therefore be diligent. I like King James' expression there. He said, let us labor to enter that rest. Now, this is a procedure for entering into the rest. Number one is to know the truth, all right? The promise of God, and then to act upon it with obedience. That's how you enter. We have to labor so that we don't fall through following the same example of disobedience, verse 11. The reason it said in verse 12 is because the word of God is living and active and sharper. I won't dissect that one now, but let me just rush through it. Okay, that the word of God is very alive and it can perform that which he has promised. That's what he was trying to say. Okay, now I'm bringing out something, please. I'm going down to a particular point. The issue here is the fact that they are supposed to enter into God's rest, like we said earlier, into God's grace. Because he said, anyone that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. That is, the power of God will now be manifested in the life of the person. Do you understand the point? But this is the problem, that you have to obey the truth that is revealed to you for you to be able to enter into the situation in which you will say you have ceased from your own works and God's power is now working on your behalf. Are you getting what I'm saying? What I'm saying isn't clear. I hope it is clear to you. All right. Now, so the main issue, therefore, is how do I obey that word? That word is so powerful. In that said in verse 14, yes, I know that things might be difficult. You may have a knowledge of the truth. If you are not around last week, please try and get the CD that I taught last week on this particular subject. You may have a knowledge of the truth, okay? But you are unable to obey it. And if you don't obey the truth, you can't enter into the rest. Grace will not flow through your life. It says, for that reason, in verse 14, it says, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. The weaknesses around this time around describing the reason why we may not be able to obey God. He said, but we have one who has been tempted in all things as we are, he said, yet without sin. And this is how he conquered disobedience. This is how he conquered sin. It was by prayer. I said last week that when he was going to disobey God, which was in the garden, going to the cross, remember that the cross was difficult. And that was the flesh becoming weak in the sight of obedience. Are you getting my point? Therefore, he went into the garden to go and do what? To pray. And he prayed until he had the strength to obey. Now, please get this point. He knew the truth first. But he did not have the strength to obey the truth. So he went and prayed. Now, using that principle, Paul was explaining to us here. He said, let us therefore use the same principle. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. There's a reason why I read this. And then, you know, I'll tie it to what I want to say. Okay? Now, I said something that is the delight in the law of the Lord that is important. Is that okay? Now, I will explain something about spiritual things. Let me just remind us of this one. Sometimes we know the truth, okay? But without obeying the truth, we cannot have the power of God manifested. Let me come down practically. Let us assume a man does, let's say he does business. Have you ever seen these people that sell groundnuts? I don't know how it is in a lot of places, but on the road, or they sell things that they pack like that. They tend to put paper or sack at the bottom of this thing, and then pour the groundnut on top of it so that it will look very high, like Kilimanjaro. Of course, you talk to a number of them, they say that's how it is done. The idea is they're supposed to make it look big. There's another one they do. You want to buy maybe things they measure in these big tins. Those who use the metal one, they first beat the sides a bit. They beat the sides so as to make the thing appear more than it really is. Now, it doesn't sound funny because you're not a crooked person, all right? And you're not treated in the midst of crookedness. Now, sometimes you tell people that, why do you have to do this? That this is dishonest. That God says an unjust skill, all right? He will tell you that that's how everybody does it here. If you don't do it like that, the amount of rice you're putting into your tin will be so much that you have to increase your price. And if your price is higher than that of the other people, you can't sell. That's very sound logic, right? But it's still iniquity. You know that. An unjust weight is an abomination to the Lord. It's an abomination. Now, if you tell somebody to start practicing righteousness, okay? Let's say a country like Nigeria, where corruption can be a very, very serious problem. And you are used to doing contracts and doing businesses. And if the thing is 1 million naira, you know you have to bid for 1.8 million, 800,000 for settling the director that we signed, you know, all the other people involved. And then we start teaching righteousness. You know, let me be honest with you. It is not as simple as saying, praise God. I know they do it again. I know they do it. You know, that is, listen, you see, when, you know, they have a saying in my place that the man who has never been to war, he calls himself a man. That when war has not met you, you think you are strong. That when you really face challenges, that's when you know whether you're really a strong man or not. Listen, that's why it's good to learn righteousness now. You don't have children. You are not paying school fees. If they eject you from the house, it's only you. So what's the problem? You go into a container. Nothing's wrong. You know, it's not a difficult thing. When you have to worry about what people will say about your wife, what will your children eat? For information, inside a container is as good as living inside the sun. The sun passes through the wall of that matter. Now, that when it's that time, oh boy, obedience is not as easy as it sounds. I'm being honest with you. I'm not joking. And that's what one of the things I try to teach Christians is to learn obedience with the power of God. That is how to obey God, even when it is hard. How to use God's strength to obey Him. That God says, do it like this. And I know I can't do it. So I say, God, you said we should do it like this. Can you give me small energy to use to do it the way you said? And that's one thing about God. He will give you the energy and still give you the credit. I don't know whether you get the point. God will give you the energy to obey Him and still give you the credit for obedience. We don't have time to go into that in detail. Go and listen to last week's message. How do you handle that? It's simple. It's prayer. Are you getting my point? It's simple. It's a matter of prayer. But please, this is one thing I want to start with. Before you go praying that kind of prayer, it must be because your real desire is to obey. It's not you want to make an excuse. Pastor Banks said, pray until you find strength. God, I prayed, there was no strength. So into disobedience I go. You follow what I'm trying to say? No, it must be because you really, really, the depths of your heart, what you want to do is obey. And when God sees it, He will pour a spirit into you that will put you on your feet. That's what God does. Please, there's a reason why I'm explaining this. Because the first stage, all right, to actually walking in God's will is to first walk in the expressed will, the one that is clear, that there's no doubt about it. Listen, there's no scripture concerning who I will marry, but there are plenty of scriptures concerning who I will sleep with. You know that? Amen? Yes. There is no scripture that will tell me, thou shalt marry a sister that is this height, whose name starts with S and ends with E. I shall show you her face in a vision. When you want to sleep at night, face the wall, my son. The picture that comes up on your... All this Pentecostal story. Do you get my point? By the way, if you're not a prophet, forget all these things. I have dealt with prophets. That is, I've had dealing with people who I know they have a prophetic anointing. Seeing vision for them is not by prayer. Once you join hands, they see vision. That is, they're not thinking about you. You mistakenly join hands and pray with them. They don't see vision. That is, it's just in their blood. And it's really not for them. It's for people like me. They will see it. Banky, come. As we're praying, the Lord said, I should tell you. And I hear it. I'm not joking. They are not necessarily more spiritual than the businessman who only sees money, doesn't see visions. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen to me. They are not necessarily more spiritual. If you are not a prophet, forget visions. You don't need it. If God sends it, what do? You receive it. But as you wake up in the morning and say, Father God, I'm going out today. Show me what will happen today. It's only witches that behave like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? A child of God wakes up in the morning. New every morning is thy love. Father, I thank you because my waking this morning and my uprising has proven that. I thank you because this is another day that you have made and I will be glad and I will rejoice in it. Listen to me. You are a civil servant. Those who are walked by 8. If it is 6:30, as you are rejoicing, rejoice into the bathroom. Amen? Are you getting what I'm saying? As you are rejoicing, rejoicing with iron of your shirt. By 7:07, you should be on your way out of the house. In the matters of the king, Daniel was not found negligent. So be there on time. That's the will of God. It's not shaka botobo lodo. God, where do I go this morning? Idiot. Office. Office. If you're a student, lecture hall. You don't need revelation for that. You don't need it. So let's put that one aside. So I'm going to say that God doesn't speak all the time with all these fantastic visions and dreams. He does not do that all the time. He does it once in a real while. I mean, even Abraham, that God personally, face to face, tutored in face, he used to see him once in how many years? God will appear, after these things, the Lord appeared to Abraham. Before that, maybe it was 12 years ago. And what Abraham used to do in between? It's just normal work. He was a farmer, had cattle, had things, he was a businessman, was just doing his stuff. Now, so let me get back to what I was saying. So I said that God may not speak specifically. There's no scriptures to show who I'm supposed to marry. But there are scriptures to show where I'm supposed to go, who I'm supposed to sleep with, who I'm not supposed to sleep with. It's clear. Are you following what I'm saying? And it is, listen, let's quickly read this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Everything spiritual, let me explain it, has two levels. What did I say? Everything spiritual has two levels. The first level is the general level. And then the second level is the specific level. The general level, everybody is supposed to obey. Take righteousness as an example. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Every human being, there's a general righteousness, faith in Christ Jesus. But there's a second level of righteousness that has to do with obeying the specific will of God for your life, which we are dealing with. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, that's just the way it works. There is a general righteousness, and then there is a specific one. The general one you obtain, first of all, by faith in Christ Jesus. Then the specific one you obtain by specifically obeying God's calling for your life, what God has ordained for you to be in life, what he has designed for you to be. And that's where you get your general, your specific righteousness from. In the same manner, there is what is called the will of God. The will of God has two levels. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk. Now, please notice that we gave you instruction as to how you ought to walk. Walk shows us that it's a continuous, a normal lifestyle thing. It's something you do all the time. We gave you instructions concerning how you ought to walk and consequently, please God. It says, just as you actually do work. It said, that you may excel still more. That is, we know you're already doing it, but want you to do better. It said, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And I said in verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Everybody say, your sanctification. Your sanctification. My sanctification. My sanctification. That is the will of God. Are you getting my point? That is what I call the general will of God. The mistake we make is that we put the cart before the horse a lot of times as people. Listen, this is how it is. The Bible says there is a proper procedure for every event under the sun. Are you getting my point? There is first of all a general level of the will of God, and it is forbidden by God that a man should seek to know his will when he has disobeyed the general one. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Listen, this is the spiritual order. That I don't start inquiring about God's will when it is time to marry. In which city should I live in? Should I move down to Abuja? Or I think I should use the opportunity that has opened now to move to Mozambique. What do I do? Hey, this one, I'm about to enter university. What do I feel in jump? Do I want to study law? Or I really want to do architecture? God, please speak. Oh, dear Lord, speak, talk. That is the wrong time to start seeking to know God's will. Do you get what I'm trying to say? First of all, Paul explained that we gave you instructions on how you are supposed to walk normally and therefore please God. Please, get it clear. That is the first thing. When you have learned that, he said, this is the will of God concerning you. That's the first line. Your sanctification. Did I explain what sanctification is? Let's just read down further before I say what happens after you have learned that. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warn you. He said, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in what? In sanctification. Now let me just stop there. Paul was describing to us what is practical sanctification for believers. And that is the first level in working with God's grace, in working in God's will. Are you getting the point I'm making? A man is thinking, God, which business do I do? The last business he did, all the people he did business with, now God will punish you. They talk every morning they wake up. That is when they wake up in the morning. All they are saying is that, maybe you saw somebody something. He looks at this man. He no go better for him. Anytime he thinks about you. Now listen. Let me just say this. Whether you like it or not. This is just by the way. This is not the main thing I'm saying. Make sure your deeds in life does not incur curses for you from the mouth of people. As much as it depends on you, you must not be one that anytime people think about you, now, like we say in Pidgin, now swear they could swear for you. That's why, you know, thieves, they can't live long or do well in life. If you see any thief, listen, if you see any career thief who seem to be prospering, physically speaking, God has reserved him for a terrible assignment, and the day God will judge him, he will judge him very harshly. You know why? People are always releasing, maybe you hang your shirt, as you go there, the shirt don't miss. The person will take the shirt, it no go better for him. That is not a joke. Not better for himness, he's being encapsulated into a spiritual force. It will start. Look, we may not see him, but it is following him everywhere. I mean, one day, I had an issue somewhere, and one panel beta was just talking nonsense, you know, in my presence. I was saying that it's because he's telling the truth, and that some people, that's why they lie. I said, that's why God also punishes them. He said, who go there when God punishes? I said, what does it matter? If a man is suffering in Cairo right now, does it concern me? He is suffering. I don't care about. And he said, look, this one that you go under a man's car, lose one knot. I said, oh God, this knot, this one not good. You know it's good though. It's 1.5, they sell a new one, you put them. And then, one day, that new one, which is bad, it breaks. I said, ay God, people where they make this thing, no go better for them. Listen, you will bring and come. The man where you buy them from, all of them, you are joining, they share, you know, it's called a prophet's reward. This is a sinner's reward. Each person gets his own. That is why you buy a car, it will stop knocking engine. There's not, you know, that's the problem with people. A lot of preachers, that's what they do. All the witches that are against you, tonight! They will leave you alone. It's a lie. The witch said, you pastor, I will join yourself. Just watch. How can they leave him alone? Have I not explained to you before that Satan doesn't have any power? All he can do is argue cases before God. He doesn't have any power. He doesn't. All he does is that as the person is saying his own, Satan will say, God, that one we pastor the talk on your own. See that guy kneeling down there. Wait, say, see that trouser. I know the owner. The trouser will do is okay. Maybe he just gave special offering. Should I tell you where he got the money from? Let me explain now. Four of them did business. It was supposed to be shared 25% amongst four people. The money came to 100,000 naira. I mean, I was there. I mean, I go to and fro. My name is Satan. Going to and fro the surface of this earth. I was there. He went and told his friends that all the profits only 40,000. So he still shared the 40 with them. I now chopped 70,000 total. The other people shared 30. That special offering, he has reported himself. At least now I've told you where the money comes from. As fast as the Holy Ghost fire, the man thinks he's against his enemy. Doesn't know he's on his head. Listen, that is how Satan afflicts people. That is how witches afflict people. You go around defrauding one person, lying from here to there, cheating people from here to there. Satan will never leave your business alone. Let us stop praying rubbish prayers. You cannot give enough offerings to deliver yourself from that. The only thing is repentance. You hear what I said? The only thing is what? Repentance. Listen, let me say it clear to you. You don't have the ability. The Bible says the redemption of a soul is costly. Look, it is costly. You can't make enough money to pay God to deliver you. You can't. But repentance, are you getting my point? Only acknowledge your iniquity. That one will free you instantly. That is, you come forward. That is, you are not even giving any special offering. He said, you give a sacrifice for redemption of your sin. It's a lie. Jesus sacrificed all this sacrifice necessary for the redemption of your sins. Only believe. That's what they said. Only believe. Only what? Believe. You go there, you kneel down, you confess, you repent. As soon as you get up, let me see the witch who wants to die young that will try you after that. Then the pastor doesn't have to shout. All he needs to do is you join hands with him and say, Father, I thank you because this child has been delivered. The witch that doesn't leave him alone after that, he's signing off for sudden death. Listen, that's the basic thing about Christianity. That's what we need to know. You know, I see a lot around these days and I laugh. This seed is for your breakthrough. Listen, my friend. A man who has broken down by iniquity, only repentance can break him through. Listen, let me tell you something about God. God is if you saw God physically, you won't even recognize him. His behavior is very weird. So what do I mean? If a man likes to tell lies, God will sit down with him and say, oh boy, tell me more. By the time you finish lying to him, he will use your lie to prove to you a point, and you will believe it, and you say, it was God that told me. Yes. And you will get up and act upon it, and you will die suddenly. He said, but God spoke with me. He said, to the crafty, I show myself as crafty. What's wrong with you? God, that's the way he is. That is why, when people are running up and down, looking for a kind of deliverance, that God knows they are not yet ready to repent of wickedness, God will follow them up and down. You see, there are preachers who their assignment in God is to put affliction upon wicked people. That's their job. They give you hope where there is no hope. No, God is my witness. I know what I'm saying. That's their job. It's a wicked job, but is it a job? It's a bad job. It's called, they have healed the heart of the daughters of my people slightly. Saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. And he was speaking about prophets. He said, they have healed the heart of the daughters of my people slightly. Saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. He tell the man, it is well. Don't worry, God said, one of my friends, listen, make remember my friend for a bag leaking. Say he went to go and pray so he can win election. They said, let us go to where witches meet and they do divination. He said, no, I'm a Christian. They said, very fine. So they left him. Then they came back and said, well, I found a pastor. You don't want to go to Babalawo? At least I found a pastor. And he went there and the pastor said, after the pastor heard everything, his prayer. Say all the tithes and offering for the last 4 years you were in office, you first paid the arrears. you were here that day when he was in it, in this office. He was laughing. He said, Pastor, God used that man to collect all the money I had. That because he had to borrow money, do everything. He borrowed, the only thing he had left, a car. He used it as collateral, borrowed money from a lawyer. So the pastor collected the arrears of tithes and offering and prayed for him. He said, he dreamt God to him. He said, oh, that one you are doing there. Now, why you? You will not win this election. You say, I say so. At the end of the day, he didn't win. He didn't get anything. The car he had, the person he borrowed, he couldn't pay back now. He told me, sitting there in this office, he said, Pastor Panky, that God used that man to collect everything I had left. I said, that's the man's assignment. You don't want to repent and obey. No problem. You will see a man who will prophesy lies to you. No, get my point. Go and read the story when Ahab died. When Jehoshaphat went there, and they said, before we go to Ramoth Gilead to go and fight, let us get prophets to prophesy. And prophets came. Hey, thus says the Lord, my king. Thus says the Lord. And I saw the Lord on his throne, sending forth angels to fight on your side. I saw the angels slaughtering your enemies. Go forth, and you will win. And Ahab said, thank you, good prophet. Secretary said to him, his prophecy was particularly special. Give him double dose of money. You know, it was Jehoshaphat that said that. Jehoshaphat looked at all of them. He said, excuse me, sir. Is there no other prophet around here that seems to have more sense than this one? Now, there's a reason I'm telling this story. You would think the other prophets were not inspired, but they were. If they said they saw visions, they actually saw visions. How do I know? It's a simple thing. When they called Micaiah, Ahab said, that one doesn't prophesy anything good about me. As if it is personal. As if it's not a matter of the iniquity of his hands. He said, let's just call him. And as soon as that one got there, he said, you go, no problem, you go succeed. Then they said, oh boy, talk true now. He said, you want to hear truth? They said, yes. You want to hear truth? They said, yes. He said, listen. Then suddenly he began to narrate the visions. This is it. He said, I saw it. It happened. Let me summarize the story. A lying spirit left the presence of God, entered the mouth of the prophets, and began to prophesy. That is, every single one of those prophets were inspired. Every single one. There was a spirit talking through them. They were not imagining things. There was a spirit. That's why, listen to me. You want to know the will of God? Enough of prophetic visitations. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Because what you hear is dependent upon your obedience to the general will. It has nothing, listen to me, to do with the real will of God for your life. Nothing. It is dependent upon the degree of your obedience to the general will of God. Micaiah said, I saw it. He said, God said, who will entice Ahab for me? I want to kill him in Ramoth Gilead. And the spirit said, I will. He said, what are you going to do? No, me to tell lies. It's not the first time. We are used to it, sir. I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. I will give him spiritual strength to go to battle, the battle in which he will die. Many people have invested in businesses because a prophet said, thus says the Lord. And God said, no problem. That prophet really heard a voice. In fact, I despise the spirit that spoke through him. Except that I know that that is the business that will ruin you, ruin your family, ruin your career, ruin everything you have ever put your hand to. He said, why? He said, because the iniquities of your hand, you have not stopped them. But the prophet said, listen, you know, you've heard me teach. It is not as if I despise prophecies. No. It is because you don't go to hear prophetic words with a dirty heart. You know, January 31st, if I say this, it will shock some people. I hope you are not offended. January 31st is the greatest lying season in Christianity. The December 31st, I wanted to say, into what we call crossover night, into January 1st. Everybody shows up in church. I have sat in church before, and as soon as they finished saying Happy New Year, the people sneaked out and into Premier Garden. I'm not blaming the pastors. You know, you've seen that it's not the prophet's fault. It's the man who comes. I mean, there are 1,000 people there. There are only three people out of the 1,000 that God said, 2009 is your year of breakthrough. Even the thief says, Amen. He's a rogue. All the problems of 2008, hear me. In 2009, you will see them no more. Satan said, all right, okay, now I'm waiting here. When you finish in church, bros, you know, say we'll get deal. And the guys, they shouted, Amen. And as soon as when I say lying season, I don't mean the pastor is a liar. I mean that is when the lying, you know, it flows around. Listen, the first week of this year, the first business that will come across your way is your passport to breakthrough. The man actually hears it and believes it. He does not know for him, that's a special lying word. In which that is the one that will send him into breakdown. Why? Because 1st of January doesn't change the hearts of people. You get what I'm saying? It doesn't. December 31st, I can be sleeping. It really doesn't move me, honestly. It's just out of discipline that everybody is going to join. Let us go. Oh God, you say, Pastor Manke, what is wrong with you? It's you that something is wrong with. If you think breakthrough, it comes by a change of calendar. I'm going to emphasize something here. That he said, this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. It is that sanctification that opens the door for hearing correct words. This is the interesting part. A sanctified heart, interesting enough, tends to instinctively know God's will. Let me tell you how the will of God is supposed to be for a child of God. What did you eat this morning? Huh? Yes. You had beans. What did the Spirit say to you before, of all the foods to choose, you chose beans? Nothing. So, you ate out of the will of God. Listen to me. Almost every morning, I have a breakfast I eat. It's bread-based. You know, the Spirit never told me about it. It started from the days of being a bachelor. You will just, I get bread in Lagos. So the woman with the silence used to knock on my door in the morning. I'm serious. I'm very serious. I say, which kind of wahala be this one? Because me and my friend, once the woman start passing, we come out. Madam. It was very easy. There was nothing. You don't even have to light a fire. If na bonvita or milo, just put inside the cup, shake everything, chop the bread while you are standing and drink it. So it became a habit. No, the Holy Spirit never spoke to me about it, believe me. No, thinking about it now, did I ever pray one day, dear Lord, what shall your son eat for breakfast? It was just what I liked to eat. There are those that don't like bread. My mom does not like bread. She doesn't like, there are people they don't know why people eat bread. Now, I'm looking at something. That's how the will of God is supposed to be to the child of God. That is, without thinking, without stressing much, you just decide that this is the one that seems good to me. And just by discovering the one that seems good, you discover the one that's the will of God. Are you getting my point? Listen, it's a misunderstanding that we have all imbibed to think we have to have a reference point to where when God said, my son, now get what I'm saying. God occasionally says, my son, amen? Yes, he does. Occasionally, you will have a dream. We'll talk about these things as time goes on. Please don't miss this whole series, all right? We're going to be on it for some time. Occasionally, you will go to church and a pastor will say, as I was about to start preaching, the Lord just began to speak to me. And he said, there is a brother here. You woke up 6 a.m. this morning and you began to pray. And you prayed for 15 minutes and you burst into tears. And you were so confused as to what to do about this particular situation. And he wants you to know that this and this and this are to be done. It's called the word of knowledge. It happens. Amen? It happens. Once in a while. Once in a rare while. Are you getting what I'm saying? Please, it happens. But nobody can wait for it. Nobody is to plot on it happening. What each person is supposed to do is to learn the general will of God and use the general will to make decisions most times. What do I mean by general will of God? Let me tell you very simple things. Prefer one another in love. If two of you are quarreling over something, you step back. If I say this, it'll make you laugh. If you hear, you like one sister, one brother likes her too, you hear that one, stop chasing her, it's enough. It's called prefer one another in love. It's a general will of God. Diligence is a general will of God. Evangelist who is in school. Listen, evangelists are meant to go to school in the morning, not evangelistic field. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Oh God, there's a crusade that is coming on. It just that it's clashing with the exams. Bros, if you don't want to take the exam, go and see the dean and resign from that faculty first. It is not the will of God to be found in mission field when the exam is going on. Let me add this one to it. It is not even the will of God normally to be found not reading when the exam is coming on. You know what I mean? It's starting next week. Said there's this powerful crusade. Praise God. It's an open door. The Lord just opened the door. Listen to me. Generally, pastor, say now you they force you come to school. Did you see any place where they say if you don't come to this school, we won't let you preach? No. You were the one that took your hand, wrote the exam, entrance exam, and entered school. For that reason, for the period that course lasts, you are bound to be a student. If you don't like it, take a leave of absence. Go and finish evangelizing the whole of the villages and then come back to school the following year. But as long as you are in that school, the will of God, the normal will of God is to be where? School. Everything has a season. I'm trying to explain something. You talk about the will of God, will of God. There are some things that are general. Diligence, honesty is the will of God. God, what should I tell him? He gave me 2,000 naira to do this business. We completed 1,006. Is that not my profit? You said I will reap where I did not sow. Is this not my profit? It's called stealing. It's dishonesty. Do you get my point? If you want to reap where you did not sow, go back at me and say, bros, you gave us 2K, but now 1,600 finish up. The 400 naira, this is the change. You want the change back? If he says you can keep it, hey, that is Isharib where you did not sow. Is that not so? The will of God is honesty. It's not they didn't have change, so I just took a recharge card. Because they didn't have change. You can't scratch the card into your own phone. It's called dealing deceitfully. Now, that is against the will of God. I'm going to explain some basic things. All right? What is the will of God? Should I do this business? Listen to me. Well, I don't want to go into that in detail. If you don't know about it, keep your hands out of it. Don't let covetousness put your hands into what you don't know anything about. These are the general things. Next time, I'm going to talk about the common sense of the Christian. What did I call it? Christian common sense. Say it. Christian common sense. Let me tell you how God expects to know his will most of the time. Is having discovered the general will of God, you operate with that general will of God, and you make common sense decisions with the general will of God. You know what I mean by common sense? Some things that are so basic that everybody should know it. Common sense, you know, in English word, is not the same thing as worldly sense. What I mean is this. What is common to me, who is a believer, trained in the word of God, is not common to everybody. Let me give you an example. For me, it's so common in sense that it doesn't matter where my wife is from. That is, the sense is so common. I don't remember to pray about it. That, Brother Chukwubeke, please agree with me. Ashakabotosa, I want to know whether it is all right. This one that this sister is not from my state. Let us pray. Amen. Praise. No matter how American you sound, it's called iniquity. Henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything has become new. He said, give no offense either to Jews or to Gentiles or to the church of God. Everyone that is a member of the church of God is common sense to me. It's common sense. I don't pray about it. God is my witness. I have never prayed about it. That is, it's when people even discuss it, I realize that my wife is from Delta State and I'm from Ondo State. I'm serious. That is the only time I realize it. It's not an issue. Say, how will it be when people go home? If any man does not love my wife, he's my enemy. That's the end of it. If the whole clan does not love my wife, they have become my enemies. A man ought to love his wife as Christ loved the church, loved the church, and he gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's it. I have come to understand that. That is, for me, is what? Common sense. It's not prayer point. Prayer point is the one that's not common sense. David James said, if any man lacks wisdom, please, I'll talk about that one next week. If any man lacks wisdom, James does not expect you to pray until you lack wisdom. You didn't hear me. Anything that spiritual common sense can handle, you don't inquire about it. A man comes to you. Sir, I'm hungry. I've not eaten since morning. And you too, you are hungry. You have not eaten since morning. And you have 30 naira in your pocket. You don't pray. Should I give to him? If you can, he'll say, oh boy, me too, I'll not get money. See, granted, nah, 10 bucks. They decide Gary there, 5 naira. So we'll go share them. Take 15 bucks, I take 15 bucks. Doesn't need prayer. Say, Lord, please move upon my heart to know whether I should share this money. look, listen. Christian work, eh? You just grow up. Are you getting my point? You grow up into what is reasonable. All this one of demanding special manifestation is when children are behaving. You know, like I have little kids in my house. My boy, I can let you get there. You know, you have to tell him when it is time to stop playing, you know, PlayStation or watching cartoon. There's school tomorrow morning. You have to talk to him so that so of course he won't understand. He say, just small. He just say, my friend, oh yeah, off with that TV now, upstairs and to your bed. You know why? He's a child. If he's an adult, you know, without anybody, I don't pray about it. I just know that, I'm traveling tomorrow. I have to drive. I'm going to sleep. Are you getting my point? It's just spiritual training. All this special manifestation, all right? It is a sign of immaturity. One of the things I found about Christians is that, you know, we like romantic stories. Remember romantic stories? You know, if you hear that, Pastor Bang is there, God didn't even speak to him about his wife. He just liked the woman in Maida. Now what, me? No, I can't do that kind of thing. You know the one we like? And the time came, and the year was 2005. Oh, man. Hey. And it began to move upon my spirit that it's time for a man of God to get a wife. And I went, as it were, into the mountain. And I began to pray. I said, Lord, who is the ordained Shakato so big? And you are feeling very anointed. And on the third day of the fast, the heavens opened. And I saw, as it were, two angels bringing down a photograph. And I closed my eyes and said, Lord, can I behold thy face? And the Lord said, my son, it is not my face, it's the face of thy wife. And I opened my eyes. You know, he talked like that. You hear, whoo, whoo! Praise God, oh Father. People could fall under the anointing. If I'm sat that kind of place, if I just close my eyes, say, oh boy, look, did you marry the girl or didn't? Because this story you're telling us, people have seen more visions and the girl refused to. I say, people have seen more visions. At the end of the day, the girl will look and say, so Pastor, God sent you. They look you to talk to bottom. So the God that was sending you, he didn't know, he will inform me that you were coming. You did not read the story of Peter and Cornelius. You know, we love romantic stories. Do such things, do they happen? Yes, occasionally. I have friends who can tell you where God revealed to them. And at that time, we'll discuss why God goes beyond the level of common sense. Because sometimes you have to take decisions that common sense can't take, and it's in the will of God. And when I say common sense, is sanctified common sense. But it is difficult for a man to be sanctified in his common sense to that level. And God needs you to act upon it now. Then he interposes with a special manifestation. Listen to me, child of God, it's not common. Out of every, this is my own opinion, out of every 12 people that marry, maybe about one. And if you go into God's presence to ask, you will see that it was necessary to give them strength to face some challenges that are coming up ahead. That's how God does things. Ideally, a Christian grows up spiritually. Do you get my point? And certain things become common to him. I said, James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. That is, until he gets to the position of lacking wisdom. James doesn't expect him to be asking questions. He said, what are you talking about? When they had to replace Judas, there were some basic things which their years of training with the Lord Jesus Christ had taught them. You are going to be apostles of the Lamb. You are going to be witnesses of these things that you have seen, not that somebody told you about. Therefore, anyone who will replace Judas must have been a witness like the other 11. Are you getting my point? So they began to search. Amongst all the men gathered, they searched and found that only two people qualified. Listen to me. If it was only one person that qualified, the prayer would have ended there. They would have called him forward, laid hands upon him, and they would have added him to the camp of the apostles without further prayer. It's only when they have to do something different from that, that God will now speak. Do you get the point that they make? Yes, otherwise God wouldn't say anything. God will bless them and let them go ahead with what they are doing. Because they would have fulfilled that which is already common sense to sanctified people. Listen, what is common sense to a sanctified man is not common sense in his village. That is why when you want to ask advice, be careful who you ask. Are you getting my point? One man, I don't know how he became a pastor. I really don't know. He was pastoring a church. You know, I don't like this one where you just use physical diligence to promote a man into an office. And his sister asked that one man is asking her to marry him. And she doesn't know what to do. He said, because he's not a believer. And the person's friend came to report this one to me. And the pastor said, it really doesn't matter whether he's a Christian or not. She is a good character. You can pray and God will, you know. I said, may God put that one out of ministry until he's fully trained. It's evil counsel. That's the counsel of the ungodly. You tell a Christian girl to marry a man who has not given his life to Christ, you are of your father the devil. It's arrant nonsense counsel. And the girl was even nice enough because of her childhood spiritually to come and ask you for instruction. That's worldly common sense. When I'm describing common sense, okay, I'm talking about common sense in which every expressed instruction in the Word of God has become common to the person. That take no thought for the morrow, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and where we dwell shall we be clothed, to the person is common. Where sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, to the person is common. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of all thy increase, to that person is what? Is common. So this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification, that you abstain from all fleshly lust. To that person it is common. One day I went for a meeting somewhere. It was a singles meeting. Very celebrated where I was then. So a friend of mine said, let's go and see what's going on there. I went there too. And the person called the meeting, introduced the subject, and said, there is a sister. She's engaged to one brother. And the brother said that since they are Christians, they're not allowed to be sleeping together yet. But he can't do without sleeping with a woman. So he won't disturb her, but she can allow him to have a girlfriend outside to be getting regular servicing until they are married. And the discussion of the meeting was that, what should she do? I told my friend, can we go? The discussion of the meeting is that, what shall she do? One presenter was changing microphone and explaining their own viewpoint. I told my friend, but when you are ready, we can go now. This was, I will guard that here. In the name of Jesus, you evil spirit, come out of him. That's what you should say. I command that devil that's tormenting your soul right now to come out. That's what you should be telling the person, not discussing. You know that after three people exchanged their ignorant microphones, I told my friend, look, let's go home. This one we are doing here is not the will of God. That's what I'm talking about, common sense. This is not the will of God. There are certain things that Paul said shouldn't even be named amongst you. You don't even talk about it. That the one will happen, that we solve it amongst ourselves in secret. Say, brother, please don't say it outside, please. Don't let them hear that, even we too. I beg. I'm serious. You get what I mean by sanctified common sense? Sanctified common sense. Some things are basic with Christianity. And listen, church, you don't have to. You are forbidden. Listen. Let me end with this scripture. I'm ending now. I read the scripture and I close. You are forbidden from asking questions of God until you have satisfied that which is common. Ezekiel chapter 14. From verse 7, it says, for anyone of the house of Israel or of the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me for himself, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. And I shall set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb. And I shall cut him off from among my people, so you will know that I am the Lord. I told you there are some prophets whose assignment is to confuse such people. In verse 9 it says, but if the prophet is prevailed upon to speak a word, it is I, the Lord, who have prevailed upon that prophet. And I will stretch my hand against him and destroy him from among my people, Israel. And they will bear the punishment of their iniquity. As the iniquity of the inquirer is, so the iniquity of the prophet will be. What am I saying here? It was saying, in effect, before you come asking questions, there are things that are basic. You fulfill those ones. When you have fulfilled those ones, then, and if that one cannot answer your questions, then you now go to the next level. Do you get my point? Next time, like I said, I will discuss it in further details. Sanctified common sense. How does it work? Most decisions you make in life as a Christian, you use your sanctified common sense, and the result of it is the will of God. Even if you lose money, is the will of God. Because it is not the sign that I did God's will was that my salary increased. There are times you do the will of God and your salary goes down. Because the appointment for the next season is a lower salary. Spiritual things cannot be monetized. Amen? It is not always a sign of progress that money has increased. Sometimes it's a sign of compromise and agreement with Satan. That a man has begun to walk with people of iniquity. The first sign that he's doing that, Satan just said, quickly, give him money. It can be. But what am I trying to explain? The first way you discover God's will is that sanctified common sense. We'll discuss in detail next time. Our time is really far gone now. Let us begin to pray. Have you learned anything today?
Yes, sir.
I said, have you learned anything today?
Yes, sir.
If that's the case, let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ.